Back. I'm just pulling some more stories together here. Interesting. Hold on. Let me reload this page. I want to make sure I get this 100% correctly before I read it. Trump urges Republicans to back Pelosi and Mnuchin's coronavirus response deal. So all of a sudden, Trump is being a team player. President Trump voices his support for a House coronavirus relief plan that Democrats hope to pass Friday. What Trump is really doing is praying that something comes along to take some of the pressure off of him for being such a jerk and a moron and a failure at leading this country in the most critical time, arguably, maybe, in its history. We'll see. His response, his utter lack of leadership, his despicable narcissism and self-concern about the re-election and how the numbers might hurt him if they got to be bad are, in my view, moral grounds to impeach him, if nothing else. All right. Now, some other little tidbits. A federal judge has cited coronavirus in his decision blocking the Trump effort to cut food stamps. Here's another example of this horse's ass Trump actually standing behind the idea of cutting food stamps in the middle of a pandemic, the beginning of a pandemic. This guy is completely mentally incompetent, not like Biden. He's still got his faculties, which makes it all worse. Washington Senator Patty Murray says she is so angry and frustrated with Trump for not responding sooner. Was it just 10 days ago he called it a Democrat hoax? A doctor has said, a very wise and accomplished doctor, I think we have between 50,000 and 500,000 cases of coronavirus right now walking around in the U.S. That story is up at the top of headlines, too. I think he's right. Maybe more than 500,000. Think warmer weather? Are you one of those wishful thinkers? Do you think warmer weather will kill the coronavirus outbreak, like some wishful thinkers are suggesting? Well, it hasn't done so in Australia. Read the story. We warned you about that. The infectivity of this organism is so sky high, even if warm weather were to diminish its activity, it would still be a steamroller. Trump, as you know, did declare a national emergency today, whatever the hell that means. Princess Ivanka stayed home after an Australian official that she and Attorney General Barr met with tested positive. He's got the virus. There's a photo of her up in, you'll see it on the homepage. She's right next to the guy. So she stayed home today. I'm not sure if that's self-quarantining or just staying home and thinking about it. White House is blocking phone calls to Trump from one of his top former advisors who's trying to warn him about how dire this pandemic in reality is. There's another story for you. All right, here's one. Americans going to hospitals cannot be tested. Doctor says it's insanity, and that's a quote. and that there are no tests available to use. This is what the doctor in the hospital said. He says we're being crippled by the CDC. This disaster is all on the Trump administration, which has lied and lied to the nation. Here's one more. Trump reportedly rejected aggressive coronavirus testing in hopes it would help his reelection. This is a despicable human being. All right, let's go to the antithesis of that and talk to Dr. Henry Nyman now, who has been heroically here every night, bringing us up to date on the truth and reality of the situation we face. Welcome back, Henry.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be back, and there's certainly a lot of activity out there, and actually there's quite a bit centering on Trump and Mar-a-Lago and coronaviruses all kind of being at the same place at the same time.
The Brazilian train wreck at Mar-a-Lago. The Brazilian coronavirus train wreck at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there, denials notwithstanding, and it'll play out pretty clearly, I think, in the next few days.
Yes,
Mar-a-Lago,
I think so.
was last weekend, and so had about a little under a week, and virus keeps rolling right along. I mean, that did come up at the press conference this afternoon. He actually did declare a national emergency. That does free up money. And one thing that kind of got lost, I think, I've listened to some of the discussions. I think there actually is funding to get more ventilators and ECMO machines.
I read that too somewhere. I didn't hear it. I read it somewhere.
One of the pluses. Yeah, I think there was a contract included in the plan, and so when it gets activated, then it's possible to use funds to actually order building of more machines or manufacture more machines. And
right.
So that's one of the pluses, and I think there's $40 or $50 billion. Is freed up as a result of that. And Trump did get good marks for kind of acknowledging it's a disaster instead of a hoax. And the stock market did go up pretty dramatically when he made that announcement. And actually, the press conference was set up for the stock market. It kind of started a half an hour before the close. So he
good.
Could get
dot connecting.
His prepared remarks then and introduce all the executives that, you know, were on board, although he did shake a lot of hands when they came up there. So I don't know, you know, how ready and able they're going to be in the
we'll see him in a week holding a handkerchief up to his nose and saying he's got allergies or something. Watch.
Well, The links are going up. I mean, there was another one that kind of came out tonight. The Brazilian ambassador who was at Mar-a-Lago sitting at that table has also been confirmed. So there's the press secretary, the ambassador, and
Bolsonaro has now denied that he tested positive.
Yes and
which
no,
I,
right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
I suspect it's
usually
a Trumpian response. I don't have it.
Well,
it may
be in more than one way, because I mean Trump was pretty vocal about it at the press conference. Oh, he tested negative. There's nothing to worry about there. And you know, he knew about him. He didn't know about his press secretary. He was asked about the press secretary who is positive and was standing next to Trump, and he says, "Oh, I take a lot of pictures. I don't even know the guy." And I said, well, you don't really have to know him. He was standing next to you and he had the virus. It's the virus you have to worry about getting to know, not the press kit secretary. He went back to Brazil. I mean, the virus is still hanging around Mar-a-Lago. So,
this is unbelievable.
In any event,
9 days worth, ladies and gentlemen, on dry surfaces. That's the potential. Not three, it's nine.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it was at Mar-a-Lago, you know, raises the possibilities that, you know, other members of his inner circle that he gets his bite from are susceptible. I mean, even the Secret Service would be susceptible. I mean, it's kind of a wide open area down there, and there, you know, a lot of big tables with pictures and little circles around people who were already infected at the time. But it could be a pretty interesting development because I mean the links actually go out from that because the entourage met with the mayor of Miami and he's positive now. So the mayor of Miami's positive. He met with the president and et al. And so it just seems that you come out of Mar-a-Lago and you know, a week later there's some issues there. So in any event, the virus does seem to be everywhere and in the news a lot, and the lack of testing came up again. I mean, even in the prepared remarks, it really kind of you know, it was an announcement that you could have re-racked and ran a couple of weeks ago. It was, well, we got all these tests lined up and they're being delivered and get ready. Anybody can get tested. And then you just hear one story after the other in places where there is a lot of virus and there is a fair amount of testing and people still that are symptomatic, they go to the hospital, can't get tested, and they tell you not to go to the hospital. And so if they call the hospital, they tell you don't even bother coming in. And it's I mean, commentary after commentary just keep talking about, you know, we're kind of flying blind here because we really don't know how many cases there are out there and how many people are you know, want to be tested but can't get tested. And then it's now looking like at the places where they are doing testing, like New York and Washington State, the amount of tests they can run in a day is kind of limiting how many concerts they can hit.
So, that's right.
So that New York's coming up with about 100 positives, but that's because they can run about 1,000 tests and they get about 10% positive rate. And it's the same thing with Washington. So they're both adding 100 each day, but that's not necessarily reflecting exactly what's in the population there. I heard one reporter went up there and, thought that, you know, a lot of these people that were complaining that they, you know, thought they had symptoms and they should be tested and they couldn't get tested, that these were just a bunch of hypochondriacs and just figured they would double check and see whether there's anything going on. But when she started investigating, she found out that they were positive. There's a Seattle flu program, which is designed to kind of expand the testing, that if you have flu-like symptoms and you test negative for flu, then you're eligible to be tested more on a research program for to see if you've got the SARS-CoV-2, and that's where they're getting some of their positives, and that's kind of jacking up the numbers. And yeah, what was interesting though is that because it's a research program and in part because the University of Washington also got involved, the sequences are coming out and all of the sequences are essentially the same and they've kind of evolved a little further from the first case in Washington in Snohomish County, and the first case in Snohomish County that was community, it was a high school student who actually, that was the story. He had flu-like symptoms, and he was negative for flu, and they went ahead and tested, and he was positive, and then they sequenced, and he had essentially the same sequence as the first case in the U.S., and they were, you know, within miles of each other and had the same sequence. And that, you know, was strong evidence that the virus that came never really went away. The CDC kind of did contact tracing, and they didn't identify any contacts that were positive. But this sequence kind of indicates that it really was there, because it had a fairly rare mutation that was in both of them, but both in mid-January and then the end of February. And it kind of is suggesting that this large number of cases that is showing up in the Seattle area is really all kind of coming from this initial introduction. And that kind of suggested it may be, you know, have a an R-naught that's even higher than people had initially thought, because it seems that the number of cases there is pretty high.
Right? Could be 9 or 10.
Yeah, because they're really all the same. And then on the sequencing front, it turns out that the Grand Princess, the first leg of the Grand Princess that was down, not in Seattle, it was down in San Francisco and going to Mexico. But that's the one that everybody just kind of got released when they came back and scattered to the wind, so to speak.
Turned them loose. Yep.
As it turns out, drew the interest of investigators were two of the passengers on that first leg were tested and were positive, and one died, and the one that didn't was from Solano County, and her sequence was released last weekend, and it turns out her sequence is the Seattle sequence, and so either the Seattle had spread to California, or somebody from Seattle was actually on that cruise. And it kind of, and this was clear cut. I mean, with the high school student, the match, the CDC said, well, we can find that rare mutation in China, and therefore it's possible that, you know, one led to the other here in the United States, but it's also possible that the high school student was infected by a virus that arrived separately from China and just coincidentally was in the same county a few miles away from the other one. But in any event, what made this later isolate more useful was that it had picked up two additional mutations. So there was really the original lineage, this rare one that's sometimes found in China, and then two additional ones. And those two additional ones kind of stood out and indicated that, you know, this anything that would match that would have that whole series would have come from Seattle. And then a series of sequences by University of California, San Francisco came out last weekend also, a day later. And they, there were six of them. And they all were the same in the sense that they had the original lineage, the rare one from sometimes found in China, and then the two additional ones that was found in Seattle. So it was clear that that's the version that had swept through that that initial voyage of the Grand Princess. And then today, they I kind of tracked it last weekend and found different cases around the country as well as in Canada that were described in the state reports as having been on that first leg from the Grand Princess. And right. One of them was in Minnesota. The first case in Minnesota was a male in his 80s who had been on that cruise. And they released the sequences today for the first three cases in Minnesota. And the first case, sure enough, it was the Seattle sequence. And so that pretty much confirmed mm-hmm. that, A, he was on the ship, and B, you could right. identify it by just looking at the sequence. And then the second one was different in that that was described as someone who had been infected in Europe. And then the third one was described as most probably infected from foreign interactions. And it's kind of fuzzy, and it wasn't really clear how that person got infected. Mm-hmm. And his sequence was actually the same one. So he was on the cruise also, you know, but they didn't say he was on the cruise. But it was very clear that you can just kind of, you've got this genetic fingerprint now. So each of these sequences that gets published from various individuals around the country and in Canada, you can confirm, A, whether they were on that initial cruise, or if they don't really say how they got infected, you can basically prove how they were infected. So that sequence is, like I said a couple days ago, that it literally has a stamp on it that says made in the USA, because it's got those two additional markers on them, and they happened in Washington, Washington State. So the sequences are helping resolve this to some degree, but you know what's still a little bit unclear is how far along this path the U.S. is relative to Italy. And that
let me do that, Henry. Before you jump
ahead.
In Italy, hold on. I got to do this. This is back home. It has to do with a ship, the Grand Corona Princess. The last passenger got off the ship late yesterday. They took their time. Shipboard ordeal finally ends for last remaining Grand Princess passengers. This is last night. Word came down late last night. The week-long ordeal for Darla Curtis and the last remaining passengers aboard the coronavirus-stricken Grand Princess had come to an end. The final bus had been loaded at the Oakland dockside, and those passengers were beginning the next phase of their return to a normal life. Okay, there's one. Here's another one now. We talk about first responders being on the line here. Four San Jose firefighters have now contracted coronavirus. 80 other firefighters in San Jose exposed and restricted from work. Do you see how fast, ladies and gentlemen, the first responders, fire, ambulance, paramedics, EMTs, and soon police will be removed from duty? Understand, this is coming. Two San Francisco elementary schools closed, 11 students suffering from severe respiratory illness. But, gee, they can't be tested yet. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's that's part of the reason there's so much news. It's, a few days ago, there were examples. I've been kind of following things in eastern Pennsylvania. I got a couple of kids in Philadelphia and kind of paying attention to what's going on there. And
get those kids home, Henry. Bring them home for spring break.
They were close. Well, they lived there. They got houses there. So anyway, they're all out of school now. So these couple have settled down there. And in any event, a few of the schools in the area had students that simply had someone who was exposed to somebody that was confirmed, and they were closing the schools just on that basis. And then it turns out the two counties of concern are both in suburban Philadelphia. One's Montgomery County, and the other one is Delaware County. And they're right next to each other, and they're right next to Philadelphia. And they're up to, I mean, just to give you an idea how fast it's changing, last Thursday, I think they had zero cases in Pennsylvania, the entire state. And they started to get, they got a couple, one was in Delaware County, one was nearby. Last Thursday, they were two. Wow. And then they literally started updating the website multiple times per day. And the numbers just kept creeping up and creeping up, and they're up to 41 now. And they've got 18 in Montgomery County and 6 in Delaware County now. So just those two have got 24, and then they've got 3 in Philadelphia, and they got 1 in Chester County, and all of these are literally Philadelphia suburbs or Philadelphia itself. And they had announced that they were going to basically lock down Montgomery County. They were A, going to close the schools. B, they were going to put requirements on businesses, on what kind of requirements they had to have just to be open, to make sure that they weren't going to get crowded and they have too many people at one place at one time. And then there couldn't be anything, any mass gathering with, I don't know what the number was, maybe 250 or it might have even been the last people in it. And later they went and they extended that to Delaware County. And then a few hours later, they closed all the schools in Pennsylvania. So it's, all schools in Pennsylvania are closed for the next 2 weeks. And this happened across the country today. I saw this morning there were about six. It was either 2 or 6. It was definitely a single digit of states that were had school closings. And by the end of the day today, I don't know the exact number, but it was not single digits anymore. There are like a dozen states that have all of their schools closed. And then there are other school districts like L.A. and a few others in the West where it's the individual school districts that are closed. But they're large school districts and metropolitan areas. And I wouldn't be surprised if it would get significantly higher next week. And this follows what had happened with all the sports professional teams and high school teams. They actually closed the championships for the spring sports in Pennsylvania. The PIAA, they all shut down, so they're not even going to complete those. So they're going to they're going to play in empty stadiums. They're not playing. Period. And it's just kind of come as a wave, really, the last couple of days. I mean, I got all of these emails this afternoon from all of these companies that were saying, we're doing deep cleaning and we'll be open for business type of a thing, or we've been following this coronavirus story. And and I was just amazed. It was one email after the other. So Things have changed very dramatically in the last several days. I'm sure you and all your listeners have noticed, and nobody's kind of untouched here. And
J.P.
And what's
Morgan
driving it?
J.P. Morgan, Henry, J.P. Morgan, officially today forecast a coronavirus-driven recession will rock the U.S. and Europe by July. That's a major forecast.
Well, everything's shutting down, and everybody's kind of, you know, just burrowing in here and not planning on going anywhere and just wait this out. Johns Hopkins put out a little bulletin this morning and pointed to a paper they had written, and they essentially talked about how there just are not going to be enough beds in emergency rooms or enough ventilators or ECMO machines, and it's not going to take that much for them to run out. And they said it's going to be, they specifically said it's going to be like 1918. So, I mean, that's what the comparisons are now. They're looking at that pandemic, and they're just looking at how easily the virus transmits, and they're looking at what the case fatality rate. I mean, they're not even using the case fatality rate that they use for SARS. They're using of all the cases type of a thing, and they're still coming up with a number. And Tony Fauci said that it's 10 times more deadly than the flu, and that got the attention of some of the members of Congress. They were saying, "Well, yeah, people die of the flu, or Trump."
And they keep using that. There were
10,000 people died of flu last year. Some years it's 30,000, 40,000, 80,000, and then Fauci says, "Well, this is 10 times more deadly." And so they stopped talking about the flu. And in any event, it has caught a lot of people's attention. And and what's difficult is that all of these projections are kind of flying blind because the testing isn't there. So you look at these numbers and they look alarming, especially if you look at them over time and see that, you know, there wasn't that much going on a week or two ago. And all of a sudden the numbers are, I mean, there was some areas that there was activity, but there were, you know, like Pennsylvania, there were literally zero cases. I think last Wednesday, I think the first case was last Thursday. And now 40 something in New Jersey next door, there's 50. And then New York is up to like 100 just in New York City now. And they're tacking on, like I said, 100 a day in the state, but right. It's limited. It's not like that's all that they have. And then you're getting all of these stories about people that are symptomatic. They've got a fever, they've got a cough, and they've had some type of exposure, and they can't get tested. And so
Hold on. I'm sorry. Look, dear friends, there are no tests to speak of. There's a smittance of tests. That lie about 6 million kits being sent out last Monday, just another lie from the Trump administration. Lie, 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 lie. I honestly don't see any quick-term solution to the lack of tests. It's going to take a month to get caught up and get to speed on this kind of a production and to get distribution. It's just not there. So give it up. Oregon has very few tests. I think they ran out on Wednesday, and it's Friday now. I think they had, what'd they say, 60 tests yesterday total they could use. Maybe this is the technique. Is this the technique, Henry? They're just not going to make many. They know they're going to be way behind on distributing tests. So the numbers are going to stay down. We know that.
Right. Yeah, Trump likes the lower numbers. And so, you know, whether it's him directly or indirectly, it's like there's no.
It doesn't matter to me. The buck stops at the president and the Oval Office.
Right.
That's my view.
Right. And it's just one thing after the other. I mean, the tests that were distributed had a problem, so they recalled them. They really didn't get the replacements made in a timely manner. And now some of these kits that they sent out, there's a shortage in the reagents used to extract the DNA. So they got the kit, but they can't get the DNA out of the sample to put into the kit to do the test. So they got the back end of the test, but they can't get the raw material from the clinical sample to put on the plate.
On what I said. There are no tests to speak of. Yeah. Very few. Yeah. A smittance.
Yeah. And then they're talking about switching it over, you know, to Quest and LabCorp, which have commercial kits, but it's still a matter of even the paperwork to get it done. I mean, I tried to get tested here, and frankly, I thought they were already set because they had announced that Quest and LabCorp had basically said that they had been approved and they can start doing the test. And I figured, well, these guys are the doctors are already set up with these companies. They go and they drop off, they deliver the test, kit, and then you put the sample in, and they come and pick the sample up, and they take it to their labs, they run the test, and they send you an email with the results. So I thought, well, this is bang, bang, bang. You know, this really shouldn't be a problem. All they need to do is collect the sample. Well, that's an issue in and of itself. You know, that they don't feel that comfortable collecting the sample, and so you gotta find a doctor's office that's gonna collect the sample and put it in this kit. But it's not ready yet. I mean, if you heard the announcement today, they were talking about, well, the kits are going to be ready, this weekend or so, or some of the kits are going to be ready this weekend. But in general, the kits are going to be ready soon, so it's kind of this nondescript timeline here, deadline.
It's a load of crap. It's all misdirection.
Right. And then they're talking about setting up the drive-thrus, which, is a good idea. But right now, I think the only drive-thru is the one they're setting up in New Rochelle.
They have one in Washington. Washington, a hospital in Washington has one, or the university had one at the medical center. There was one first in Washington.
Okay, so a couple. There's a couple
that's
that are
it.
Set up.
Two in the United States, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure the New Rochelle one is set up yet. I think they were getting it ready. It might have been
we're
set up.
We're weeks away from having the volume of tests we need. We're weeks away.
And even New York, where they said they're going to set up a series of these, at most they've got one. And, to get tested, you got to be a resident in New Rochelle. It's not that, it is. All you got to do is drive up there and get in line. It's limited. And they are going to have a bunch of them. I don't know what the number was, but I think they're going to have like 20 or 30 of them in the New York. But right now they've got one. And they can take, I think when they're fully functional, I think they can do about 200 a day type of a thing. It is, you drive your car in and they got all these guys and, decked out in their hazmat suits and
designating all the Starbucks drive up windows, for example, as a place to go to drive through and get your test? You want to be a patriotic business in this country? Let's offer up some services. But we're weeks away from having the number of tests we need.
I think they are planning on using Walmart parking lots. So that was part of the announcement today. So they have listed Walmart.
American business needs to stand up. Yeah.
They're going to set up tents and you just drive in there. Right. But
Right.
It's not that they didn't give out a list of where they were. You guys can go there this afternoon. They said that's what they're going to do. And so
we're not going to have enough test kits, Henry, for weeks and weeks.
Right. It's just this combination that is still in the works. And, you know, the virus is just spreading like wildfire, because once they get the test set up, I mean, they got the test set up at least for eastern Pennsylvania. They actually got their first case in western Pennsylvania, Washington right. County, a little south of Pittsburgh here. And that's the only, they've got a grand total of one positive in western Pennsylvania. They've got three mm-hmm. in Cumberland County, which is central Pennsylvania. Everything else is just in along the border with New Jersey. It's all mm-hmm. way, way east. And but they've got 41 positives already, and they've got, I think it's 130 pending. So it's not like, this is it. You know, they made the run. They found all the cases, and there's 40 of them. You know, by next week, there'll be 140 of them. And
keep your eye, ladies and gentlemen, on these numbers, and look for healed or released patients. That's the key to this whole thing. This virus does not let go easily. Understand that. We've been talking about that for many, many weeks here. It doesn't go away quickly or easily. Resolved cases are few and far between, really, when you consider the number of potential infectees that are running loose in this country right now. Here, new virus cases, clusters in Thailand found with Hong Kong and South Korea direct linkage. Talking about genetic linkage there. But Trump keeps letting thousands and thousands of South Koreans and Asians fly into this country every single day on Japan Airlines, Korean Air, Hong Kong's Cathay Pacific, Philippine Air. They're not restricting them. They're flying in here every damn day.
Yeah, but the number that are already here is
of course they are. I'm not talking about, I'm worried about more infectees coming in. And let's go down and talk a little bit about Mar-a-Lago and the Brazilian thing, just quickly, if you want. Princess Ivanka has been exposed now. Donald has been exposed multiple times, apparently. So has Mikey Pence. If they both get knocked out with the flu... Guess who's president? Nancy Pelosi.
What they should be doing is they should be testing all these contacts. I mean, that's normally what you do. So, I mean, at a minimum at that table. I mean, they got pictures. They know who they should be testing. They're all sitting at the table with a guy who's been confirmed, so that they know there was an exposure
two guys
there.
The ambassador too.
Right exactly. So it's two, and I don't know where the mayor was. He was probably hanging around there too. Story that came out this evening that a donor was there and he's tested positive. So
mayor of Miami's positive. That's what Henry's talking about.
But there's a donor on top of that. So there's the donor, there's the mayor, there's the press secretary, and there's from Brazil, there's the ambassador from Brazil. And it's probably the president of Brazil who was tested positive at least once. And then, I mean, I saw his son being interviewed, and he would say, oh, it's negative. Well, which one's negative? He was positive once, and then he would say, well, I don't know. I don't know any of the details. It was, he's negative. He's negative.
There you go.
And
all right.
That interview was, generally in science, you get a positive or the negative, you believe the positive. You know, the positive wins the case of a tie almost every time. And, and this guy, he didn't even know how many tests there were quite. He just said, well, I don't know any of the details. He's negative. You know, after it's already been in the news, he's positive. So, but even if you throw him out, even if there was a false positive and he really is negative, you still got four people in the room that are positive for the same weekend. I think all this happened last weekend.
Correct.
And so if you're doing any kind of reasonable test, are tracing. You would have four people at a restaurant sitting at the at least two or three sitting at the same table, and they got all these pictures of these guys. They're literally shoulder to shoulder. I mean, they got Trump holding the guy's hat. You know, he's got a make a Brazil great again or something hat that he's got.
That's right.
And Trump is holding his hat, and Trump didn't make the hat. The guy handed him the hat. So I mean,
the contact could hardly be more complete. Okay, right.
So I mean, there's photographic evidence of the contact, and what normally would happen is you would be testing everybody at the table. You know, that's Ivanka, that's Jared, that's Pence, that's Trump. They were all there, and the positive guests were at that table. It's not even a picture. They got videos of it. The information's there. All they gotta do is, who's this guy? Yeah, where are they now? We need to get a sample and see whether they're positive or not. and I mean, that's how they find the asymptomatic cases and the mild cases. For the most part, they're contacts of a known positive. So you get a positive and you try to figure out who else is susceptible and who should be quarantined. All these people should be on a 14-day quarantine, and they should be tested. If they're positive, they should, it depends how sick they are, but they should be monitored. And if they develop more severe symptoms, they should be in the hospital. And so, and my guess is the contacts, at a restaurant, there are a lot of contacts, especially when you have
three or
four positives.
That's right.
That it would be anybody that showed up. I mean, that's what they'd be doing in Hong Kong. They'd put up Mar-a-Lago's address, and they'd give the date, and they'd say, if you were at this restaurant, we need to talk to you. and on these, they've got videos and photographs of everybody smiling and shoulder to shoulder. I mean, there are no 6 feet involved there. In any event, that was last weekend. And so I think that's going to be an evolving story next week. But I don't know. It might not even be the main story because, seems to be activity in several different countries. I mean, in Canada, Trudeau's wife is a positive, and I think somebody saw Boris Johnson in Great Britain, who's positive.
I hadn't seen that story yet. Boris Johnson is positive?
No, like an MP or something who had dinner with him. So
okay.
A contact is positive. He hasn't. I think he was going to be tested, but he wasn't positive. But the same thing with Trudeau. Trudeau's wife is positive, but he's...
Well,
he's,
don't forget Tom Hanks and his wife, and there'll be other Hollywood types that are positive. Let me ask you a question.
Well, they were in Australia, where
they're still there in Australia.
So they can't be positive because the virus disappears in the heat.
That's right. No, I got the story that it doesn't in Australia for some reason. It didn't. Right? It's getting cold there.
That's another
heat didn't do anything
story,
to it. Yeah. Right, here's a story. This is interesting. The Atlantic, very long-standing publication magazine, mostly on the internet now. Major story. The Trump presidency is over. It has taken a good deal longer than it should have, but Americans have now seen the con man behind the curtain. And I think that story should be read by everyone. This guy's gotten away with far too much for far too long, and it's time. It's time to go, Donald. Time to go.
Yeah, well, his performance in the Oval Office, if he didn't see it before that, I mean, it was pretty clear that he he really didn't have a clue. And in fact, even today, when the media started asking questions, I mean, there were questions on whether he should be quarantined or should be tested. And his first, he gives two answers to everything. So his first answer was that, well, they don't want to do a lot of testing on people that are not showing symptoms. You know, and he says, you know, I feel fine. I don't have any symptoms. I talked to my doctor. You know, there's no reason for me to be tested. And then 10 minutes later, they go and they say, well, what about, you've been in contact with somebody that is positive. So it's not that you're being tested because you look like you're sick. You're being tested because you've had contact with a known positive. And then he says, well, maybe I will get tested. but that's all being worked out. I mean, that's the standard thing. So it isn't, well, I'm going to be tested tomorrow, so check in on Monday and I'll have the results. It's, well, sometime in the future, just like when the kits are ready.
Don't forget, he's going to be tested. Bolsonaro, the tropical Trump, as they call him down there, got talking to Donald, and Donald's just deny it. Deny it. That's all. Just deny it. So Trump will deny this. We're not going to find out the truth unless the guy gets terribly ill and he can't hide it anymore. So watch and see. Watch and see. Henry, thank you. It's going to be another interesting weekend, and we'll be right back with everybody here Monday evening. So you've done marvelous work again. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, have a good weekend and see you on Monday.
Okay. Thanks. You too. Dr. Henry Nyman, who has been with this program for just about 20 years now. All right, we will be right back with you Monday night, and I mean it's going to go quickly. In the meantime, you know where to find us at rents.com.